recording?
Okay, now it's recording.
Okay.
We have Paul Therrill with us.
Terrio.
I'm sorry?
You pronounce my name Terrio, not Therrault.
Terrio.
Yeah, it's Terrio. French. Don't worry
That's
about
French.
It.
Okay, yeah. Got it. All right, so he's going to share with us his story, and this is the first time that we've actually talked. We've done a lot of texting, typing stuff on Facebook, and he's actually admin in Reality Check. But it's the first time we've actually talked over Skype, so it's interesting to put all this together. We were just talking about like all the text and paragraphs and everything to put it together in frequency, like over a call.
Yeah,
is just I'm, like
there's stuff that gets transmitted there, but like
yep.
like even just Skype is much like there's a, it's a lot more.
Yeah, it's broader. Like, yeah, definitely.
So just excuse me for a second. My dog is trying to come
sure.
up on the couch.
Yep.
Come on up, Ruby. Come on up. There we go. I have thousands of dogs. So
really?
Oh, there's Ruby, stop it. Stop it. Go lay down. So anyway, yes. Anyway, so I'm glad to talk to you in voice, Chris. So
you have been a real active person in this group on the social media with mm-hmm. everything. I've seen your summaries and everything that you've passed
yeah.
down to people to explain the plasmas, and you have just a really extensive knowledge of the work, you know, of
yeah.
all the new material and the old stuff also. So
one of the very few people who has a knowledge of the old material as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's not many, sadly.
Yep. Yep. So mm-hmm. I want to just start with like where you were at in your life right before you came into KS, and then the impact that it's had on you. And
okay. So
yep.
when I was, so I kind of encountered KS at three points in my life. It was only the last one where it really stuck. The first point, I was a 17-year-old newly out kid who was kind of active in the New Age movement in Calgary at the time. And a lot of my friends went to this woman's course called Ashiana Dean and so forth. And I've been having alien abduction problems since I was very little. Like I remember them. My first conscious ones were when I was 13. And I actually the first conscious ones were in 13 in like March of 1998. But I'm pretty sure there's some quite a few before. And so my friend Sharon, who was quite active in KS before she died in Calgary, she would show me all of the Maharic seal things and everything. And that actually kept that problem at bay for a little while. But you know, I'm a teenager, I don't quite get it. And I like there was some pull there, but there wasn't enough. It was like not my time. But I was, you know, I don't know. I paged through Voyagers and it was just like so over my head. I just couldn't do it. So then I stopped, and then I kind of went to university, and then I went to naturopathic medical school. And then I went and I did a bunch of and then I kind of got reacquainted with it. And so I did it, and I just did very basic stuff like the Maharic seal and so forth. And, you know, that was nice. And then I started working with this man named Whitley Strieber. So he's got a meditation group online. It's not all the meditations are great, but most of them are really, really good. And so I started working with him, and then my abductions started popping up considerably more. And and these weren't like, they were, some of them were a little bit forceful, but none of them were quite negative. Like I wasn't afraid of them anymore. Like, they were very stereotypical, like little gray beings with big black eyes and stuff. And I wasn't afraid of them this time. Like, and every time I've had an upswing in my abductions, I've had like an increase of like my psychic abilities. Like I'd learn how to do something else. So I was, you know, growing by leaps and bounds and so forth this time. And then I actually, that continued on from the summer of 2009 till about early, May 2010. So, and then I kind of, I had an encounter in my aunt's basement. So I'd gone up to visit my aunt in Ottawa, and it's very odd when you're with the visitors. It's like a dream, but it's not. It's a really weird state of consciousness. So they just come marching down into her basement, and then there's a bunch of like little short gray ones. And if anyone's ever encountered those guys are like hilarious. They're not scary at all. They're like hamming it up and everything. And they gave me it was a really weird encounter. Those little guys were all like, well, before, normally they're pretty businessy. This time they were just sitting there talking to me. It's like, Paul, what does love feel like? And I just beamed it at them. And I don't really remember how I did that, but it was just like, you just did it. It's like, boof. And they were all like, oh my God. Oh, this is so wonderful.
Is this the Men in Black you're talking about? The tall men?
No. These were short little gray bucks.
Okay.
Short,
all right.
Guys. Yeah, so they're short little gray aliens. I think they call them Zetas in Chaos, and who knows what they call themselves, but that's kind of the common term for them. And so they were all like, "Oh, this is so awesome. Oh, Paul, this is wonderful." And I'm like, "Wait, wait, there's a heartbreak thing." So I sent that to them, and they were all like, "Oh, no." Like, really, like they were really hamming it up. Like, those guys, they don't have emotions that well, but they really have a great sense of humor. So, and then, so then they kind of did that, and then they were happy, and they kind of, went off and, chatted with themselves about their experience. There's like six of them. And then these three really tall beings came in, and they weren't human. They were just kind of like amorphous and liquidy, and like they kind of just swayed back and forth a little bit. And they said how happy they were with my progress, and that I was going to get some advanced work to do right after this. And I was like, okay, fine. And then it was about 3 weeks later, I saw Ashiana Dean's video on YouTube, and then I just started pursuing it. And then I made a bunch of friends in Calgary, and I made a bunch of friends on the internet, and I'm pretty much addicted to Facebook, so I,
Yeah.
got to know people pretty well there.
Me too. Yeah.
Then and I just decided that if I was going to do this, I did it thoroughly. And so one of my friends in Calgary, Jan, lent me a lot of her stuff, and so I ended up actually doing almost all of the workshops. Not all. There's like 5 or 10 or something that I never ended up doing, but like I've done 90%, 90, 95% of them. So.
Yeah. So you were pretty much prepared for this. You were already ready to integrate what the next phase of your this thing was going to be.
Oh
Okay.
yeah, no, I've had close encounters for a long time, and I've had a long, long time to develop my own abilities to do this. So,
Okay. There's a couple of things I want to go more into. First one would be the Maharic Seal. You said it was nice when you first did it. What exactly happened the first, because this stuff has been radioactive. I use that term in my life. Like, as soon as I do a technique or something, I literally can witness the effect in Density One and 3D stuff with the karmic matters and purge, you know.
I've
So
only
what?
things where I felt different afterwards, but I've never had like just everything in my life tends to be very slow and subtle. So I would just feel happy and nice, and my energy would be better than it used to be. So there wasn't anything like earth shattering like that.
Did you have any physical reaction to the Maharic Seal? Did you actually feel anything? Was it interactive for you?
I did feel quite a bit. I felt like just like this light, nice, happy, joyous, lighter feeling. So I did physically feel that. I didn't have any physical reactions in the sense of a healing crisis or something like that.
Okay. All right. Next thing I want to would go into is the alien abductions, because I think this is fascinating. Because the kind of the build up for me going into the group, I was in a severe like Kundalini crash type thing where I raised my Kundalini too fast. So through the years, I was trying to integrate that, and I was seeing doctors and on meds off and on. And I joined a Kundalini support group, and in that group, I met a abductee, the first abductee I've ever met, and they carry quite a presence with them of trauma and sorrow and just it's a heavy weight that they have to live with against the grain type thing. Yeah. So she shared with me about her husband being in the still affiliated with the working for branches in the government. I think he was in the Navy, but just kind of beyond the Navy stuff. And so I kind of had the feel of that, of what abductees their encryption is, you know.
Yeah.
And so,
Well, I know I'm a little different. Like, I'm a lot happier than most abductees, and I'm a lot more stable
oh,
and
yeah.
stuff. So I don't quite, I know exactly what you're talking about. There's like this like gothic feeling to most abductees, and I don't
Yeah.
have.
You've transmuted a lot of it. You've directed it towards a very positive light. And most people that are contacted in any way by any alien, whether good or bad, carry a lot of trauma. And I feel in my story carries some similar things with your story, because I was contacted, except it was like a positive, these were positive ones, but I still have to carry that.
I had both. So I had some
Yeah.
that was like they were really nasty, and I had some that were actually really quite lovely. So I had a bit of both.
Right. And I once that portal's open, it's kind of like you do have both. And I've also had interactions with the grays, the Zeta stuff, and different ones, you know, from even ones that I had recognized from her drawing, you know, in Voyagers 1.
And that's the thing, is like I will say right now that I've had interactions with, well, generally only Zetas that I can remember, And I've had interactions with Zetas that were really wonderful, like absolutely adorable, wonderful beings. And I've had one interactions with ones that aren't. And there wasn't like really any physical signs or symptoms you could tell. Like I remember reading somewhere that if they've got blue eyes, they're nice. And if they've got black eyes, they're not nice. And mine all have black eyes. Some were just really beautiful, gorgeous beings that I felt super safe and happy around. And others were not, that's all. Others were not that cool. So
Okay.
a lot
So
of
you're just brushing on a little bit of what happens during the abductions, how it's similar to here, but it's different. It's not. And so I would like to go more into, is this like a laying in the bed, you get beamed up stuff, or is this you just shift, or what exactly is this, you know?
I have a so sorry, it was just a text message. So no, I would it usually would be just laying in the bed, either sleep paralysis and then they're there and then I don't remember anything, or sometimes literally kind of being drawn up and I don't know whether it's like my energy body, if it's my consciousness, or whether it's my physical body. Because I suspect it's my energy body more, because otherwise, like some of these happened when I was in residence at school and there's a lot of people around. And so I'm like, did nobody see this if it was physically happening? So I suspect it's more of an energetic thing, but I don't know.
What exactly does it have the same pattern with these things, like where you go, you find yourself in the same room in a ship or something? Are you in a ship, or
Don't really remember what happens after I get on the ship.
so you are on a ship then? It's like a different,
I
is it
remember
moving?
twice. I have remembered once or twice just kind of being there, and I know there's like a room and stuff. I assume it's a ship, I don't know. But like I
A
don't
room.
have
Okay.
any particular memories
Because
of what happens, like
you
when
are familiar. You're in a lot of these other metaphysical groups as I am, just kind of still out there studying and expanding outside of KS also. And I feel like there is a group of us that are doing that within the group. So you have the awareness of these MyLab things, which are pretty much like military experiments, or dark military experiments that they're doing in the dream time, astral. Did you have any sense of that in any of these?
Nope. I don't think those things were human. Like, I mean, it's part of the thing is that you kind of become more psychically aware when you're around them and you touch their minds. There is no human that thinks like that.
Did you have any there? So there wasn't any human, like military, nothing that were around there. Any insignias on the walls, or yeah, okay.
No, there wasn't any, like, and the way their minds work was really like, you ever have like a moment of absolute crystal clarity in your mind? Like that is what their minds feel like all of the time. It's like they are just so unitary and so purposeful and so clear in their thinking and in the way their physical brains work. It's really, really different than like what I know is feeling in a human body.
You're explaining a lot to me with the I guess, yeah, it was the second encounter
Ruby,
that I
back.
had. What's that?
Sorry, I'm just my dog. Ruby, get out of there. So,
It
yes.
sounds a lot like the second one that I had with my Sirian B. And I don't know if you're familiar with what KS says about the Sirian B self. That's like your fifth, I can't remember, sixth dimensional aspect or identity. And it just had this, yeah, that just real clear presence. Like there wasn't any thought clutter. You could feel that they had a real steady stream to their source, you know, and just
And that wasn't necessarily good ones. It was the bad ones had it too. They were just, even if they were kind of focused on something that was really mean, they were just super focused and clear about it. So it like they weren't human. So I know many people have kind of like thought that many of these abductions are kind of like mind control things. And maybe they are, maybe they aren't. I can't tell you yes or no, but there was no human that I've ever
well,
been that
they
has
don't
that.
have any. That's the thing, is that these guys doing my lab don't have any problem with showing a presence in the abductions, I've noticed, in the stories. They're like, well, he was escorted by a guy in a military uniform. You know, he's just right there in the back. So I don't think they have any fear of hiding it as far as that goes. And you said that it definitely sounds, it doesn't have that human feel, you know, to it with them. And there's like a sense of intelligence there. And some of these are kind of robotic, like, type things with surgeries and different procedures and things.
Yeah, no, I don't remember any of that. Maybe they were, maybe they weren't, but like the ones that I encountered, there was a robotic quality to them, but
Right.
just there was also a very living quality. Like that consciousness was not like, it's not like talking to a computer or talking to Siri or something like that. It's they're alive, even if they're just really precise in a way that reminds me of a machine.
Right.
Yeah.
Some kind of intelligence that's there, but it's just a little too refined or something.
I wouldn't say too, it's comprehensible, but it's like how I would feel if I'm out of my body and all the clutter is away in my mind, but I can still think. Like it's not incomprehensible, but it's a lot better than what I can do now.
Okay. All right. Okay. So what year did you say that you joined everything? Was it the
So 2002, 2006, and 2010 being the latest one.
Okay, and there was like these gaps in between where what exactly happened with that? Like, how did you leave during those times that you weren't in it?
So I just kind of fell off. I just stopped doing it and it wasn't a huge priority.
Did you get busy like 3D life stuff and just
Yeah. I had my undergrad and I had school and I had my life and everything else and yeah.
Okay. All right. So you've followed, it seems like you've followed all of Sliders. You did, were you following that alongside as they were coming out, like during the
I
time?
started at like Slider 7 and I kind of followed on after that and I just caught myself up.
Okay. All right. I guess we can jump right into it then, with the whole shield split thing, because I'm just sensing that you do have a lot to share with us with the impact of it. And so leading up, I mean, because you were in Sliders, leading up to Sliders 12, part two, I guess it was, the May Workshop.
I was physically at part one. I didn't go to part two or part three.
You were physically at part one. Okay. Okay. What was your sense at that workshop? What was that like in part one?
Freaking Battlefield.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Me and my friend, me and a friend, oh, I won't say her name if she doesn't want to be interviewed, but me and a friend were there and we kind of spent the whole workshop together and it was like there were demons and everything else like flying every which way and attacks going this way and that and just like the randomest, most bizarre stuff happening.
Wait, wait, wait.
So I knew something was happening.
Wait, demons. What's your definition of demons? What are you seeing?
Scary little beings.
Scary.
Like it's I'm not using a very precise chaos definition. It's like dark, scary, I don't like you.
Right. Like in physical, like we've seen shadow stuff. Like phys whoa. Okay.
I was feeling them more and they were flying every which way. And my friend told me, she's like, Paul, you're like a pillar of light here. Like, what is going on with you? I'm like, I don't know. I felt really okay and but I felt really awesome. But there was like some weird, but there was a lot of weird stuff that was
Was
going
this
on
like
there.
instant? Like as soon as you got the hotel, it just started up, or
Yeah.
really? How were people interacting? What was I've heard very different stories from this, how people were interacting.
We're chaosers. There's some people who are totally blissed out and relaxed and
Yeah.
happy, and people who are being really freaked out. And most of these people are like freaked out most of the time anyway.
Yeah.
Other people who are being pretty preachy and angry, and other people who are just, and me just kind of off doing my thing. Other made some very good friends. Made some very good friends there. I got to meet a number of people, which I really liked. I got to meet Rose and Noel physically, and
Oh.
I got to meet Nala and Jared, and
Kind of went to the positive flow of the interacting and social. It
I met
didn't really.
like a bunch of friends and everything. It was really nice, and I kind of just, I was like, okay, y'all are preaching at me, and I'm, you feel free to preach, but I'm free to not, give a shit. So,
Yeah.
I did notice that there was a lot of hierarchy and there was a lot of like power relationships and there was a lot of like preachiness and control happening and I didn't like that. So the idea that this is something, and it wasn't all the people who kind of w eventually became like white blue core or whatever, that was coming from just about everybody. So I didn't like that. That was a thing that was pre-existing and that was something that I found quite unpleasant.
Pushing their own interpretations of what where the work was going and stuff.
And there's nothing wrong with having your own interpretations, but like controllingly pushing that.
Okay. Yeah, there is a difference. Yeah. There's
My
definite.
interpretation of chaos all the time, and I just like, this is what I think, and you can think whatever you want, and
Yeah.
I may be critical of what you think because I disagree with it, but like, it's your choice to think what you want.
That's where the difference comes in, is in the spirit of how you present it, your thoughts.
One
And
second, my dog is getting.
yeah, sure, go ahead.
Dozer, get down here. Get down. Hey, come here. Get down here. There we go. Sorry about
Oh,
that.
no problem.
So anyway, yeah, no. So that's what happened at 12-1. 12-2, there was the gigantic freakout. This is kind of the problem, is that one of the control things was that you apparent at that time were just not allowed to talk about what happened at the workshop. It was like some big gigantic secret. And so all we knew is shit hit the fan, and that terrible things were happening, and that we were all somehow, there was a contamination problem with the group, and that we couldn't do ordinations anymore.
That was a big blow when people heard that.
We were like, it's hard to remember, and it's hard to kind of, if you went through that, and like we, like you obviously did, but we all did, but we were freaking terrified. Like, we all felt something was wrong, and we all knew something was wrong, and then just we had no information, and the control thing was really keeping that information in, and so we're all just like, what the hell's happening?
Right.
And so forth. And I got into quite a few really weird fights with people, and you know, I'm not going to go into it, but it's like there was just like all this weird, like, I stereotypically get activations like 3 to 6 months early ahead of the rest of the shield. And so I went into this really like super bliss place. And during this period, like, so between the April and the May workshops, I was scared, but, and I knew something terrible was happening. And we just, there was a real need for a really big event on May 27th of that year. So I just went into this really awesome place. I was like super calm and happy. And I was like, we're going to do it. And even if we don't, it's going to be okay. And it's going to be fine. And then I just had all this stuff happen to me. Like I got into fights with all these other KS people and we all just stopped talking to each other. It's like, and it was just like horrifyingly bad stuff. And just like, it was really bad. And, but I kept that. And then I kind of just, I was scared, but I kept that kind of thing until, after the shield split happened. And it really was odd. Like at the time, it really was like when the dismissal happened and when the kind of everything came out, whether it was right or wrong, it was like, I felt this big, like this big release and this big breath of fresh air. It's like, I knew there was a ton of stuff wrong. And we all felt that. We were all terrified. And it was all just like, oh my God, done.
Yep.
Whether that was the activations that happened or whether that was just the idea that we're all acknowledging that there's some really, really wrong stuff happening.
Totally.
Whether or not Alicia correctly identified it, which is a matter up for debate. But whether that happened or not is really, that was just a big thing. And then I just continued on and I went to the December 2012 workshop and that was super awesome. And I did that and took my vows in the Alhambra Magistracy and I've kept them and I stuck with that. So
I'm definitely a solid participant in the new work. There are a few questions that do come to mind.
Oh, there are questions.
Yeah. Yeah. And those are personal questions, but I definitely trust the line of information. I resonate with the, you know, majority of it that's been coming out. So one of the questions I kind of want to bring up now that comes to mind for me that we were talking about earlier, this is called KS Reality Check. So I think it's valid to bring up our different points of views and I'd like to share mine also, but, it's got me wondering like through the years, because this whole workshop has been projecting to the property that she just went over there. I believe it's in Sarasota or is it Mayaca? Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's in Mayaca.
Yeah, and just looking back through the years of how we have directed consciousness towards her own properties at where she's lived at and through the murals and paintings that she's done, different things. It's a lot of trust.
And the watchtower too, yeah.
Yeah, and actual locations, like I think she had a house in Phoenix where there's
There was the one in Pine Island, Florida, and now this one, and yeah.
And there's portals in Steamboat Springs out here in Colorado that went to gates that we were trying to open, a residence.
Yeah, those were in Alon, yeah.
Yeah, right at residence where she had lived at, where we were working our consciousness through. So to me, this is, I'm not making any assumption or judgment on this, but it's been something that has come up to me of a sovereignty and a feeling of something for me to look at personally. So I just wanted to kind of bring that up. Do you have anything to share on that or expand on that at all? Your views? We just now start talking about it. I know it's kind of a lot.
In terms of this, on one level, it makes sense. There, it is a little bit, you know, I'm kind of like, I'm not sure honestly about that. It's never really bothered me before. And we have places and so forth. So I'd actually probably have to sit and think about that for a little
while. The reason why it's come to me is because this whole month long has been streamed videos of different locations on her property that we're projecting to. It's become more pronounced, I guess. Yeah. This is the most pronounced ever. It's been a month and we're all beaming our consciousness over it at her property in some form. You have to acknowledge that in some density.
100% true.
Yeah, and there's the lone harmonic thing, you know, that she says, oh, don't worry, we're all separate. We all have our own space. But all that space is being shared at the same coordinate in space-time right now that we're all doing. So
Yeah.
it's just been.
I'd have to sit and think about that for a little
Yeah,
while.
it just
Absolutely.
came up.
So whether or not there's any issues with that, I mean, I'd probably have to sit and think about that for
Me
a little
too. Me too. And that's why it's in the File 13 warehouse thing. You know, it's not, I'm not placing it anywhere right now, but it's something that's definitely come up reoccurring. So, okay. So moving on, I guess how has KS affected your social life, your friends and family? I think you touched on some of that earlier.
I know a lot of people bring their family into chaos, and my family just, they know about it, and they know I do it, and they know it's important to me, but we just don't talk about it. My friends kind of are interested in it a little bit. They'll kind of ask what I'm doing and so forth, and like I won't tell them about chaos or about whatever, but I'll tell them about the grand narrative that's really more reflective of my own past life experiences, and that chaos fits into really well. And they're fine with that, and they know that. I mean, I refer to myself as like an interuniversal space princess a lot of the time, and they totally get that. They
Right.
understand kind of what I'm trying to do and everything, so they're supportive, but like not actively involved, consciously. Unconsciously, I think they're most of my friends are supporting me, or there's people I know who I'm pretty sure aren't. What's the word? They're not in the camp that I'm in, but we're friends. We know each other and we're
Okay.
reasonably respectful.
You're referring to after the split, the different paths that people.
No,
No?
not even
Oh,
that.
just different spiritual beliefs
Not
altogether.
even spiritual beliefs. Like they've got like on some higher level, they've got an agenda that's different than the one that I'm running.
Oh, okay.
They're kind of going for a different goal, and still I love them, but I'm so then they're friends of mine and everything. It's just, that has become an issue, and it's difficult to deal with because I'm most of the time they're not consciously aware of it.
That's what I was about to say. Are you able to live with that? Because the impact that chaos had on my life is I threw everything out, you know, and I all the old associations, different things. I did a reset because I knew how much I was going to need to have an empty cup to pour all this healing into, and I could sense it, I could feel it.
Yeah, I never did that. I focused on it a lot, and then I kind of just it became part of my life. So my life is still my life.
But the whole work of like learning about the Metatronic energies and all, of course, all of these different conflicts of the families of space families or whatever you want to call them, the Anunnaki, the Draconians, and just learning that we interact with them on a daily basis, and just having to carry that around with you, what they did to you and what they did to this planet. I mean, all the emotional stuff to carry around, it can be kind of hard for some people to deal with, you know, to not be judgmental and to not
I
be
went there for
paranoid.
I went to that place for a while, and I don't know, I just kind of left it. I still get mad about when people do things personally to me, but like it's just the way things are now. It's just kind of part of my worldview, and I've accepted it and kind of like, okay, that's how things happened, and there is a mental illness going around, and that's kind of the consequences of that. And so
You summed it up as just there's a mental illness. That's good. That's a good way of doing it. Yeah.
I tend to medicalize things a lot.
Yeah. Can you share with us like your history of what you're doing now? Because you're a homeopathic doctor.
Doctor, and I do a lot of homeopathy. Naturopathic medicine is more than, it's kind of like a system of primary care where you're supporting the person in their healing. Homeopathy is one of the tools we use. So those two things are different, but I'm a naturopath that does homeopathy. So,
Naturopath. Okay, sorry.
or a naturopathic doctor. In Alberta, I'm a naturopathic doctor, but I can't use the title naturopathic physician because the College of Physicians has a kind of like a title restriction on that. And in BC, I'm a naturopathic physician. I can't call myself a naturopathic doctor because the college of like the medical college there has a title protection on that. So life in Canada is funny.
Right,
So,
I've
but
noticed.
yeah, no, so I do that. And that's kind of part of my big mission here is that it's kind of just helping people through their healing and so forth. So
What has been your draw to that? Have you just been always knew when you were younger that you're gonna do this and everything?
want to do that like since I was like 12. I
Right.
wanted to be Beverly Crusher and Deanna Troi at the same time, and now I am.
So being a doctor, I think this is fascinating because I've spoken with another doctor that was in the group part. And just hearing their interpretations of things brings a very grounded state of viewing this whole work in general, I've noticed. And it's helped me to kind of formulate things too myself, some of these conversations. So whenever we go into astral body and plasma body, how, like being a doctor, you have a lot of familiarity, I guess, like with body and just, you know, insight into that. So maybe you could share what, how do you know the difference between astral body and plasma body?
There's a different feeling. So my own abilities tend more towards the clairsentience. So I feel things. Astral body feels, it's nice, but it's kind of like flat. Plasma body feels a lot more multidimensional, a lot more textured in a way. So I don't tend to the idea that when we project, we're only taking a certain part of our anatomy with us. I think when we project, we take everything with us that we've activated so far. So for me, doing that, like going in with the Trua body and so forth, is it's a lot more multidimensional. It's a lot more depth. It feels more concrete, and it feels a little bit more living than just with the astral body, which is nice, but it's a little more flat in terms of perceptions, if that makes any sense.
I've heard the interpretation that Stefan
Lists.
gave is that it's more immediate. It's like right here. Astral body is just right here. You know, it's the next body past the physical, I guess.
Yeah,
The
I don't
fourth.
feel that.
No? Okay.
But then we're kind of each feeling it differently, and that's probably a reflection of what I've got going on in my energy
Yeah,
fields.
totally. Yeah. Okay.
And it may be just a reflection of where I'm from and so forth. Like some people probably, like in chaos, one of the big problems with the whole, Sliders 12 thing was that, for a long time, like we'd reach a new level of consciousness, and there were some people who were direct incarnates from there. But even those people who weren't, for instance, maybe they were just from D, 12 or whatever, but they still had a Messiah self somewhere. But then the Fem thing happened, and all of a sudden you were a Fem or you weren't. And that's not true. Everyone's got like that, Sun 8 self, that Sun 7 self, and so forth. You may be a direct incarnate from one of them, but you still got it there. And so that's kind of, maybe that's a reflection of where he's from versus where I'm from, and kind of how
Yeah.
things happen. So I haven't quite found where I'm from yet, but it's pretty high up. So I know, just to toot my own horn a little bit, like it's
Well,
we haven't gotten there. I don't think we've gotten there yet. So.
you mentioned that you have very vivid memory of past life of being in the same predicament after
Quite
the
a
count.
few.
What's up?
Quite a few.
Could you share how that's impacted your outlook on the present time and what those past times were? What those.
So the Guardian narratives presented through Aisha do tend to paint a distinct political picture of whatever the Guardian's interests are at the time. Like we can see this if we read Voyager's Volume 2, the first part and the second part. It's like, are they even talking about the same people? Like, it's just such a distinct picture. And so forth. And so, having personal memories does kind of give me a little bit of insight into what's going on with with the political things at any given time, and what's kind of what happened versus that.
Let me interject real quick. Sorry. What could you give an example of what you meant by in Voyagers 2 of
So
talking about the
there's
same people?
Voyagers 2, the first part, which is kind of the part that was written in 1997 or something, or 1997 to 1998, and then there's the second part that was written in 2001. Those two narratives are really different, one of which
Wow.
holds that there's these people called the Elohim that are little bit of jackasses, but kind of they're on the right path. And the
There's
other
the
one,
fallen Elohim, and then there's the original Elohim. That's what I've
yeah,
seen.
so
Elohi.
in part one, there's kind of like the Elohim who
The Elohim.
they don't get into that until later.
I didn't catch
The
that.
Elohim are kind of like, they're kind of act like jerks a lot of the time, but they're on side. So that's kind of it. Then there's part two where it's like, well, we concealed this, but this is kind of what they're really like, and they're really horrible, horrible, horrible beings. And it's and like
Now
here,
there's a fallen Elohim, and there's the original core Elohim, right? And they're called the Elohai.
those were
Wow.
quite different narratives, and
That's
those
an
were kind
interesting observation. Now I've got to look into that.
yeah, no. And so that was dependent, that presentation, which is quite a it wasn't an outright lie,
It's a
but it was
pattern.
a very distinct pattern of like presenting people in a very favorable light, when
Yes.
in 1997 when they were in alliance with the Guardians, and when in 2001 they were not.
Right. And like the Ashtar Command, that was kind of back and forth, teeter totter. And then sometimes they were with them. And then we had the support of the Green Dragons at one time. And
I think we still do. We still have most of the greens.
okay. All right.
Yeah,
That's
they.
interesting.
So anyway, what most people don't know is, because it wasn't in one of the books, is that almost all of the Anunnaki type people, and we eventually just started calling them greens because there's too many. They all rejoined the kind of Guardian host and kind of restarted where things left off in 2000 and 2008, and then And that kind of culminated both in the election of Barack Obama and the full activation of the Shield of Solomon. So
Remember that.
that did so that they did all rejoin, and a couple defect, specifically the Tothians did kind of defect, and some of the Hathors did. Although even I think I get the sense that the Hathors are back. And then a bunch of other people, like from the Red Shield and like Red Dragons and a bunch of others, did join in. And as well as a bunch of equerry joined that kind of whole host effort. So we've got a bunch of us all working together, and
Yeah,
we
since
tend not to like each other that much, but it's still working. So we still seem to have realized that, it's all in our common interest for the moment to work together. And so it's happening.
And
So.
Barack Obama was that was a timeline leap that we did, right? Because she was saying if he didn't win, then we would have taken the lower timeline stuff.
Really funny because the Guardians did endorse Barack Obama, and it's funny how much conspiracy theory stuff is happening there and how much is like embraced within the KS community. And it's like, no, Barack Obama was endorsed twice, once before the Dark Flowering thing and once afterwards. So,
But then
and
that gets a
really
little more technical on the agendas that he carries within his coding of being
yes.
swayed back and forth too. There's an endorsement at one time, like even Toth or Thaw was a speaker at one time too, so he was greatly endorsed, you know.
So, endorsed twice before and after a big crisis.
Right.
And that's the
He's got a
thing.
good record, right?
Yeah. So, I'm like, and I mean, it's funny. Americans have a different perspective because you guys expect your president to be like half political leader, half transformational, and half, and like
Yeah,
half Jesus.
hybrid.
I know there's three halves there, but that's
Yeah,
how little
yeah.
sense it makes to people outside of the United States.
Yep.
Nobody expects their political leaders to be that much anywhere else in the world.
Right.
And like, I don't expect the prime minister to be like redeem the country or anything. I expect him to competently administer the government.
Well, we're nostalgic, stuck in the 50s. We miss it, you know, and we expect that kind of back. I guess in presidents and everything that we see, that's what I feel like. There's just a lot of loss of innocence that we're aware of, you know, that we're
And if y'all
kind
are losing that innocence, y'all need to get rid of it and like select people based on how competent they will administer your government, because
Yeah.
that's the main criteria. That's a different conversation,
Yeah,
though.
that's a different
So anyway,
conversation.
aside from
Right.
that,
Okay.
having this pat my back to my original point, my
Yeah.
past life memories do enable me to kind of like compare my own narratives to what was going on at a given time. So I remember I've been in this matrix for a really long time. I remember the Council of Lyra. I remember,
Lyra being the cradle of our creation of
yeah,
the
so
Ekka or
before
the
kind of all
system.
the Lyran conflicts, like I don't even remember how long ago it was, Chaos says it was, but I remember being there, and I remember going and arguing on behalf, like, there was kind of the pre-Anunnaki there, oh, I forget what they're called, the Anu or something like that, and they were like, we want to blow up these Draconians. I'm like, that's a terrible freaking idea. You don't want to do that. And then they did. And then everything happened. And then I don't remember a whole lot until Earth happened. And then I kind of, well, I remember stuff before that as well. So I remember stuff in like the Borgia Matrix and everything.
Just direct correlation to what her line of information is has been your memory, like you've just been streaming alongside.
We correspond to each other very well. Like I remember, well, I suppose the first thing I remember outside of everything. So I am pretty sure I'm a Pheme. So I've done my like Christ our ascension at some point in the past. And I don't think I was from this like whole reality field or whatever. But whatever, I came here
This would
and
be a good opportunity to get the definition of a theme. I was trying to get that out of Stefan. I know you have it.
someone who's completed Adachi 3.
Adachi 3 being.
So in kind of chaos, you emerge from the Unisci in a matrix, you kind of go through your accretion cycles, and then you kind of do your Adachi return, you go back. So there's three parts to the Adachi return. So 1, 2, and 3. And when you finish 3, you kind of re-merge with your source, and then you become a Fiend.
Okay, so you
It's
just
really
did.
not, I mean, there's all this talk about like, it's not confusing. Like, I know there's a lot of confusion going on around it, but it's not confusing. It's not that hard of
Well,
a definition.
I think there was a lot of pressure being counted on those codes being awakened during that time, so it kind of created a little bit of a stigma on who was a fiend and who wasn't and who
Yeah,
was
no,
okay.
everyone, even if you're not a direct incarnate, or you haven't done that yourself, you've got a part of your consciousness that's from those matrices. So you are like everyone is. And like humans are derived from Aura Pheme. We're all got Pheme codes. Humans are kind of like the part of the Aura Pheme that was just used as host bodies to get everyone else who had a problem really, really like healed really quickly. So I'll talk about that later. But anyway, so I remember the Council of Lyra. Before that, I remember the Borgia Matrix. So there were a lot of problems there, and me and my sisters my other fiend girls that I was closely related to, we all kind of came in and decided we were going to help. And we didn't realize how bad it was. And we all kind of like went nuts, if you want to say it. Like I remember all my sisters going like insane and like screaming and howling and yelling and everything. And I don't know from what. But I decided that if we were going to be nuts, I was going to be fucking in charge. So it's like I took this part of myself that would keep me from going nuts. Like there was this thing inside of me that would just keep my code intact. And I knew that my sisters were going to kill me if I kept it and I didn't kind of, act like them. So I just kept it and I like hid it somewhere. It reminds me a lot of like if you watch Sailor Moon, there's a scene towards the end of the fifth season where there's this lady called Sailor Galaxia who does the same thing. She's like, I'm going insane. She takes this part of herself and hides it from herself. And then it's very important in the like I love Sailor Moon. So it's funny. It's like if I had to pick a superhero, I'm fucking Sailor Moon because that's how I act. But anyway, so I did that, and then I kind of ruled over them like as kind of this evil queen in the Borgia Matrix for a little while. And we weren't Borgia, but we were, they stayed away from our part of the universe for a little while. And then I found mine, and I found my little thing, my little energy thing, and I was like, oh shit, this isn't who I am. So I left them, and my sisters were so scared of me they didn't follow, so which was nice. And then I found out like I didn't quite know how to get back home, so I went and I found a planet that was a lot like Earth, and I took a body there, and I kind of started doing my thing. And then I met another boy fiend who I was related to. He was more distantly related to me than like my Tantri Asia, but we still had a very close connection. We still could do like a partial bond, and so we kind of took most of that planet out and evacuated it, and then that's how I got back home.
Wow.
Yeah, and
Okay.
so that's and it's funny. It's like I don't know if I ever ended up telling him this, but that was at least the way I remember it now. That was James Pover.
Right.
So me and James went home together, and we kind of got each other home and everything. And that was always kind of like a very nice thing between us. I remember. We had that together, and I don't know where any of his family were, but I remember us we did that together, and we had a close enough connection that we could actually get most of a planet out. So not like the physical planet, but we get most of the life fields out. We got like two thirds or three quarters or something like that.
Wow, right.
And then Lyra happened, and then I don't really remember anything until Earth. And with Earth, I was so Earth was kind of like a rock or something, and this was before Terra. Like the kind of in the Voyager's books, they present this narrative that Terra was Earth. No, it wasn't. Terra was an addition onto Earth. There's a pre-Earth before then, and it was just I was one. There's a bunch of beings who wanted to start up this really awesome project and like create this life form that was going to kind of help all the galaxy out and like really reset everyone's problems. And they were very illustrious and high and mighty, and I showed up, and I'm like, oh, I'll help with that. And so I did, and I kind of we all set the template for what was going to be Earth, and I've stuck around since then. And I've gone on little vacations to other planets, but for the most part, I've stayed on Earth since then. My vacations tend not to be voluntary, but I've been around since that point and helped Earth, biologically and culturally evolve, and taken bodies and done this from in body and from out of it.
So you have additional information from this work that you've kind of compiled yourself from your own experience, your own cellular awakening of your memory, I guess, or whatever you want to call it. And I think there are a few people that have kind of taken this work and expanded on it in their own. And to me, that's really interesting when it's done like in the right spirit of not trying to sell that agenda or what your new information is, you know.
Yeah, you
I
don't
think.
have to believe me, but that's what I remember. And
Right.
I don't care what you think. So not you personally, but you rhetorically, you other people. So
Right. That's
yeah.
interesting. It's kind of helped with your awakening to those like past lives and things too, then. That's good.
Yeah. So other times. So I think the next one that's really of any relevance is I remember the Aeani massacre. I was this really pretty black lady, and like I was gorgeous and tall, and my husband was so hot, and I was so nice, and he was my Tantri Asia, so he doesn't show up in every life. He tends not to do that, but he's super hot.
The Aeani
So
massacre, that's a really big one. That was a big one that hit me too. It awoken some visions too. Go ahead. I want to share after you're done though, also on that.
okay, so anyway, with that, I was this really pretty black lady, and I remember us negotiate. Like, I don't remember too much follow-up to this, but I remember, or lead up to this, but we were negotiating, and most of us did decide to go to Nibiru. And I remember going to Nibiru and having this like Anunnaki husband and stuff, and I did not like, I'm a bit of a bitch. I did not get along with him, and he did not get along with me, and
And wait a
he
second,
really.
because you're going to need to clarify Nibiru, because some people out there are saying, oh, Nibiru is really cool. It's coming back. So you need to bring the KS perspective of this, of what Nibiru is.
Is a gray planet. Everything on it was gray. The stone was gray. The architecture was gray. The sky was gray. The plants were gray. I hated it. I did not like it there at all. Like, it felt like the entire planet was just imposing on me and poisoning me.
Gray from what? Just energetically gray? What were they
No,
doing?
it was physically gray.
Physically gray.
No,
Okay.
it was disgusting.
What was the community like there? What was happening?
It reminded me of Rome a lot. My husband kind of determined my social status, and he wasn't way high. He was like one tier down from the top. So it was like I always got this impression. I don't know if it was true or not, but I always got this impression he's like Toth's younger brother or little cousin or something like that. So it was somewhere like it was like a step down from the top of that hierarchy. And I remember going there and trying to make it work and so forth. And then I remember Aisha kind of, there was like a coliseum, and Aisha was like screamed out to everybody, they lied to us, they lied to us, our boys are dead, like our boys or our husbands or whatever, we're dead. And then she just threw herself off, and then a bunch of us just did the same thing. And I remember pushing, I know a couple of my friends were too scared to jump, and I pushed them off, and I apologized later because that was kind of douchey, but I didn't, I got caught before I was there, and because I was one of the girls at the time, and I got chained to a rock and forced to reproduce with my husband, who really liked that. And then I remember Aisha talked a little bit about some of the girls who were forced to reproduce, and then eventually they just ended up like hating their children and strangling them. And I think I did that. So I don't think, and I think I just eventually died of like misery and exhaustion and everything.
They basically forced their own coding onto the true guardians, is what it sounded like at the time.
No, they merged their, they had their codes and they had ours, and they kind of created this offspring that their bodies could incarnate into that had some of our
Oh,
energies in it.
okay, gotcha.
So
All right.
they got access to a lot of the things that we could do that they couldn't.
Okay, I see. Including Stargate opening the portals around the planet. We had access to, yeah.
That.
Okay. So I
Next one
imagine
I remember.
Peru was a lot for you too, the Peru workshop.
Not so much.
No?
No, I don't think I might have been there, but I don't remember a lot. So no, I was the next one was actually Atlantis. So I was a highborn Atlantean princess, and when you are a highborn Atlantean, like today we would call Atlantis a patriarchy, you are either a priestess or you had kids for some chinless, spoiled, entitled Atlantean prince. And I decided to become a priestess. So I joined one of the Metatronic, what we would today call Metatronic cults, and I was super good at it. I advanced in the ranks really well. This group was not openly defying things. They were still like, oh, we're Christic, we're Christic, we're like, they were still opening, still working, openly working towards a goal, kind of a planetary evolution. But they weren't in secret. They were pursuing their own agenda. And so I don't think I really knew that because they didn't even tell their initiates that, but I had to do a lot of really bad stuff, and I kind of created this persona where it wasn't me doing it, it was this persona, and I thought this was fooling them, but it wasn't. They knew exactly how to deal with this, and this persona was kind of taking over my life. So I was probably going to end up kind of becoming like my sisters. And my sisters, after I left them, they and after I kind of from the Borgia Matrix, most of them became fatally. As we would call them today, they were, they're my family. So, and then I probably would have ended up becoming like that. But then my husband came by. There was kind of a delegation from a priesthood that was behaving much better, and my husband was part of that. And we met, and I fell in love with him. And I didn't quite know what love was because that wasn't part of my upbringing or my training. And he loved me back. And so the elders in my temple gave this to me as an assignment to infiltrate this nice priesthood, and then they kind of that was going to be my final assignment before I became an adept or whatever. So I did that, and I but I fell more and more and more in love with him. And eventually I just kind of confessed everything and told him everything. And I thought he was going to hate me and I was going to like go commit suicide or something in that lifetime. And he didn't. He loved me more. And that was kind of it. Like, despite all this horrible stuff that I did, he still loved me. And that's kind of the statement of a lot of my lifetimes. It's like, he still loved me. And so I kind of forswore them and joined this new priesthood that my husband was a part of that was doing really well. And I was always a little mentally tightly wound because I was really mad about what happened to me. And then they made their move. So they kind of did this energy work on the planet, and all of a sudden my powers just wouldn't work. Like I could do all this stuff before, and I just couldn't do it anymore. And I remember it like literally ripping through my body and like, I can't. It's like a butterfly getting its wings pulled off. You just can't do things anymore. And then they murdered my husband in front of me quite graphically. They unleashed a wave of assassinations to kind of get a bunch of people out of the way to do their work. And my husband, I was targeted, but not me personally. That's not how they work. They targeted me, but they killed my husband because I betrayed them. So they wanted me to suffer, not just die. I remember afterwards kind of getting together with the survivors in our temple, and we were all just like, we're leaving, we're done, we're going away, and we need you to come with us. My name is Akala at the time. So it's like, Akala, we need you to come with us. And I'm like, I'm not coming. So I should have. That was the best choice, but I didn't make that choice. I chose revenge. So I sat down and I hunted down and murdered almost every single one of the people I trained with and who had taught me and everything. And I got about 70 of them.
Right.
And then I kind of came up to them, and in the middle of, like, it was very unladylike in Atlantis. Ladies didn't do that. So I did that. And then I kind of burst into their temple one day, like afterwards I'd gotten most of them, and I was like, okay, the rest are hiding in there. I went into their temple while they were opening this horrible portal, this like, oh, I just don't even like thinking about it. It was just horrible. And I tried closing it, but I couldn't, and it exploded. And that was kind of in summary too, that was them opening the Toral Rift. Like, I remembered all that before kind of going into chaos the third time in 2010. And I read about that. I'd read lots about Atlantis, and I was like, you know, it's not really true. It's not really true. And then I read the Toral Rift story, and I was like, oh, that's what that was. That is exactly correct. I remember that. I was there for that.
Toral Rift being what they did when they were tampering with the space-time stuff using black hole technology.
The gateway to kind of like an already very cruel, nasty universe, and linked Earth and the Sun to it. And I remember that, and it was just... it's just a really horrible feeling. And I wasn't able to shut it. And then kind of I tried, and there was an explosion, and I died. And then I just kept on reincarnating after that. And I suppose there's two more that have any kind of significance to chaos. There's one lifetime during the Akhenaten period. I think it was during the Akhenaten period. So I remember being a really highborn Egyptian priestess and like running a bunch of people and showing them how to use the blue flame and everything, and like helping people transmute and get out of their bodies. Oh, excuse me.
The blue flame being basically like the Christic energy, like used for to controlling the gates and everything for the guardians.
Yeah, that's kind of it. It was the blue flame, and I
kind of sums it up in a very tight nutshell. There's a lot more that goes into it.
Oh yeah, no, it's like it's a very complex energy. But I did that, and this is my mission. And I remember there was like a king or something, and I remember him, and he wasn't my Tantri Asia, but we again had a really close relationship. So him and his Tantri Asia twin were supposed to be doing a lot of gate work, and she was refusing for some reason. And I suspect that those two people were Amenhotep III, so Akhenaten's father. I suspect this is more tentative, but just based on the narratives, I suspect that that was Amenhotep III's father. And then the other person was Tia, Queen Tia, I don't even know how to pronounce it, but she was refusing.
And sounds she familiar, was, that name.
Yeah, she was refusing to cooperate because like she wasn't in charge. She'd agreed to help with this mission that I was kind of controlling, and she wasn't in charge. So she refused. And so me and Amenhotep went behind her back and did a bunch of plasma work together. And then she found out, and she didn't react to that.
Oh, hang on real quick. Let me see if this is, sorry. Got
And
some
so,
spam plan on here.
okay.
Hope it's not recording it. No, it's not. Okay, you can go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Just a second.
Yeah. I just had like a pop-up thing blast in my ear. I was trying to find
Okay.
out. Go ahead.
So anyway, so then I got exiled, and so I was really happy there, and I had like this set of bodyguards. They were like reptilians, like they were reptilians in human bodies, but they were loyal not to the Crystal River mission or anything, but to me personally, which is really useful. Like I'd done a lot of healing work with people in Atlantis and helped a lot of people who had like more difficult templates to kind of get themselves out. And I'd done this for their family, and they were like, "We are loyal to you, not to the mission, to you." And so they came with me during my exile, and they were super loyal and everything. And so I don't remember what happened afterwards. Like I remember interacting with Ashiana during that lifetime. I remember I always thought of her as my daughter. I don't know if that means biological daughter or anything else, but I always thought of her as my daughter, and I left everything with her. And I remember this is really not a happy lifetime with me. I think I was supposed to marry, I'm pretty sure my tantric twin, my Tantriasia, was going to be Thutmosis the fourth. So many people don't know this in Chaos, but Akhenaten was not supposed to take the throne. He was supposed to be kind of like a priest who did all the religious work, and there was going to be someone else who's going to do the actual like ruling work, because it's like too much work to do for one person. So Thutmosis the fourth was that person. And so Thutmosis got murdered. I suspect by that queen I didn't get along with, and he was my Tantriasia twin. So he died, and we didn't get to really do what we were supposed to do that lifetime. And so then that woman kind of started fiddling about with him, with Akhenaten, kind of sending him down a really bad path. Because Akhenaten's a sweetie, he's a nice guy. I love him, but it's a little easy to manipulate him sometimes, and like in that lifetime particularly, because he was very young and impressionable. So that happened, and I left, and I left it in kind of like Eacia's hands. It was like I left it in my daughter's hands, who like I it's just she gives me the same feeling that Eacia does. And then I was very confident in that. And then one day I just heard some news, like someone came a messenger came, and I was like, "Holy crap. Holy crap, I have to get back there. Like it's all going to hell. I have to get back there." And I ran back, and one of my guards came with me, and I knew I was going to die. My guard came with me knowing that he was going to die, but I needed someone to help me, like, get there. And then I remember going there and meeting this blonde guy, and I just fucking hated him. I just, like, "Oh, I hate you so much." And the entire court was like, they knew who I was, but they were like, "Why are you showing your face here again?" And I didn't even get to do what I came to do. I just kind of they came into my room that night, and that blonde guy tortured me to death. It was kind of weird because that blonde guy was the same like husband I had on the bureau, so it was the same guy. It was like, oh,
Oh, okay.
you.
So
So
when you say, I wanted to ask you about Yesha being your daughter. Was this
I'm
like,
not going to say daughter literally. I'm going to say daughter metaphorically or
okay.
literally. Don't remember that part.
Gotcha. Okay. Was this before she did the speaker thing and her contracts? Was she developing her contracts around that time? Do you know? Or what was going on? She hasn't really discussed that.
You'd have to ask her about that.
Right. This was before, I guess, because she just
I'm
mentions her.
not sure if you'd call me a speaker at that point, but I held the blue flame and I was in charge.
Okay. All right. I guess
As
that's.
according to my memories. So maybe they're wrong. Maybe my memories aren't accurate or whatever, but that's kind of what I remember right now.
Okay. Kind of want to switch gears here a little and go into the chaos impact on the planet as a whole, like among other religions and groups. What is your perception of chaos being the end all of this is as high as it goes, in healing? Is there other groups doing equally the amount, or is this as good as it gets type?
No, I don't think Chaos is as good as it gets. The mechanics are really good. Like the mechanics are really accurate and good. I like those a lot. The history does bear a bit of political. It is being politically influenced a little bit. I mean, like my narratives that I present are different than the ones that we get from the Guardians,
Okay.
and that's there are different perspectives in that. So that becomes an issue. And in terms of just the actual mechanics, like I can't teleport myself and I can't orb my physical body yet. And a lot of us, there are paths in terms of meditation, in terms of personal development, that are more focused on healing and are more focused on people becoming like whole and better people and everything.
Emotional healing, I guess.
Chaos is not one of those. Chaos is like, there's a little bit of that, but chaos, the priority has always been just getting the grid work done, getting the energy
Yeah,
flowing.
not so much the emotional healing, I guess you
We
would
need
have from
to
other groups.
just consciously acknowledge that chaos was not about us healing or about developing powers or anything. At least not so far. Maybe it will be one day, but it's been about getting the grid work done. We've only healed as much as we needed to get the next level of grid work and activations happening. So we could do that without like actually like degrading our bodies.
Right.
So
The theme of chaos I've noticed has been personal healing through planetary service. As you're healing the planet, you're receiving reciprocal healing yourself with that intention. You know, you're receiving healing flows from the earth and from the source, the
So
earth.
I have no idea. So it's kind of like at this point, I'm like, we're not healing ourselves so much. We're healing the planet, and that's the focus, and that's fine.
Okay.
I just, I would, I'm quite open about that. I'm like, this is the point. The mechanics are lovely. Everything else is lovely. But
Do you think it works like as you heal yourself, like your reverberation can heal the planet too, like portions of
absolutely.
it?
That's naturopathic doctor. I absolutely believe that whether you're working chaos or not, if you advance in your development, in your growth, in your healing, everyone gets better. That's not what we're doing though. We're kind of just anchoring new and new levels of energy, and that's really important. But what we tend to do is just anchor those levels of energy. The actual personal healing seems to be in other paths.
Yeah, I have to agree with you because she's not stopping the line, of course. She's totally committed to her line of information. I don't think I would either if I was receiving that level of information. I would not want to stop it. I would want to see where it goes. And that's the drive that this whole work has been about with these families, the guardian families and everything on the other dimensions or whatever you want to call it, up there, you know. Past the ascension, it's an ongoing work, and I'm starting to feel more and more of a reverberation from that, from her, from this information, is that it's not going to stop.
And that's kind of just part of my own kind of thing is that remembering, being in charge and doing all this stuff, like chaos and this whole mission is more than just Yeisha's work. Like we are chaos. Each of us has our own kind of little thing that we're doing, whether it's me doing my doctoring or whether it's, Sue Clemson and all that gorgeous artwork she does, or whether it's, other people who are doing things that, I don't even know about and, I don't. Whether it's people who aren't even aware of any of this, like that is chaos. Chaos is more than just the transmissions and data that Yeisha takes down. Like it really is. We all have our own role to play and we all have our own kind of thing. And that's kind of it. It's in a big collective effort, whether we're aware of it or not.
Gelontic science is more than just science to you, then. It's not just Gelontic science.
Because of science. Sciences to me involve hypothesis experimentation and approval and disapproval. Gelontic science is a body of applied knowledge.
Right.
It's different than a science, but I call it gelontic science because everyone else does. So that's kind of it. Gelontic science to me is it's this ongoing effort to bring Earth into kind of this evolutionary advancement.
Right. It's not the
That's it. It's just
obsession.
ongoing effort that.
If I can go as far to say it's not the obsession with the science and with the healing. It's using the healing, using those tools to better yourself and then living it and not just, you know, keep, oh, what's next? What's next? It's like integrating it into 3D life. Yeah.
And there is a certain amount, like I like going and seeing what's next energy. I still go and do all the workshops and everything, especially these online ones, which are super awesome. But yeah, no, it's kind of my ideas about
Yeah,
that.
this past workshop has been extremely experiential for people that newcomers, you know, they're just jumping right in it and having experiences. Like I was there, you know, went somewhere. So I think that's fascinating.
I'm really glad for them. I think it's like the experience, like going on journeys and stuff is like chaos really, like through chaos, I've learned how to do grid work really well and I've learned how to do journeys really well. And those are both really good skills. So the journeys are, I love journeys. They're
Right.
fun.
I haven't gotten so much at the journey part to where I can direct it. It's pretty sporadic still to where I can't just say, okay, I'm going to go here now or whatever. But I
Oh,
do
yeah, I
have more direction while I'm there and to bring back, you know, of the experience and integrate it. That's helped a lot.
So a big part of my own journey has been my own, like me going up and meeting and talking with the Alhambra. And I know many people aren't able to do this. And so I talk about
Consciously,
this a little bit.
consciously doing it.
And going and journeying and doing this. And so the Alhambra are perfectly willing to teach me, at least, and I'm sure other people, like how do stargates work? Like going back to the basics and like how does biology interface with these things and all this really wonderful stuff. And I've got like so much stuff on this. And
Yeah, they come to
they're,
you pretty quick when you put a
yeah,
little. That's what I was saying before. You match intention for intention. They meet you there.
I made a deliberate attempt during that April 2012 period to go and meet those guys. And I met one of my dear friends. One of my dear friends there, he's my Alhambra sort of friend and companion and fellow traveler and everything, and we talk quite a bit, and he's showed me a lot, and I've met some other people since then, and it's really nice. I like them quite a bit, so they've gotten along really well with me. And I suppose that brings us to the next thing, is that a lot of these beings are quite nice and quite lovely, and there is kind of a, I'm going to not say conflict. I'm going to say there is kind of a disagreement between that energy that they hold and the energy that some of the people who are claiming to be representatives of the Alhambra on
Yeah.
planet are holding.
Yeah,
And if
because
they're not.
well, the other side of the split is Alhambra is dark, and that's even the name goes back to Latin, something means shadow people or something.
I had a talk about this with Noel, and I love Noel and I respect him very much, and he's
Totally.
brilliant. I disagree with his interpretation on that. So Al is a Semitic stem. So like you put Al in front of something, it means the. Humbra is, so Noel was suggesting that Humbra is kind of Toth likes putting H's in things. So that was like ha umbra. And umbra is a
Okay.
Latin word for shadow. So basically, like Al something doesn't exist in Latin. And umbra in a Semitic language like Arabic is not really a thing, or like particularly Arabic, that's where it's a big thing from. It's not really a thing. So you're basically mixing linguistic groups and throwing in extra H's. And that is just a little far-fetched to me. Alhambra in Arabic refers to red. So that actually seems to be a far more likelier association than this kind of mixing language stems together. Because, I mean, admittedly, if we started mixing language stems together, we could make anything sound great or horrible. Because we can always find like roots and like little words and meanings and everything. So I
Like the
don't,
Bible,
yeah.
and just be
So
translated.
I love Noel. I disagree with him on that. I think that mixing of language stems kind of makes that hypothesis a little bit less viable.
Okay, so what is your interpretation of people that from the other side that just sent such a dark force with the Alhambra and everything after Failsafe, even way earlier, I've heard after Virtues. Is that a coding thing, a family thing, where all of us carried the Alhambra codes and we just resonated, the other ones didn't, they don't have it, or what's your interpretation?
It's impossible to get over it. Like the two narratives both seem like they're true. I mean, the one narrative, like Aisha got hijacked and everything changed after, August 2011. It absolutely did. Like I don't say she got hijacked, but everything did change afterwards. And the
Everything
two
changed for sure. Yeah.
always hook up together. Like the Alhambra do seem to look at things differently than the Mashayahanas did. And it's the same,
Yeah.
but that's occurred throughout the work again. Like the Ani did not see everything the same way that the Elohai did. So like that has happened again and again, and that's less troubling to me. A lot of people did, however, it was right when that shield split happened, or that shield incident, like when the shields kind of got corrupted, that they started having these feelings, and you can't do that. I didn't feel the violet shield split. I don't have much violet coding. In terms of coding, mine tends to be like white and blue and green and aurora, so I pretty much got everything but violet. But I did feel the green shield split. In October, I felt it. It was just like I didn't drink the night before, or maybe I had like one drink or something, and I woke up on like a Sunday, and I felt like the most horrible hangover. Except it was worse than a hangover. It was like this acid eating at me. It was horrible. And I found out later, like, oh, that's what I felt. That was the green shield. Like that did happen. So that was a real thing that did happen. And then a lot of pro so there's an absolutely an element that some people are really tightly keyed to that, and that's kind of where their consciousness led them. It's like they were attuned to this shield, it kind of had some problems, and they may not have resonated afterwards, and that's fine. Like that's not, I don't think that's too controversial. There is another aspect of it. There is some, not all of the people who, especially in body, who are associated with the Alhambra on Earth are nice people. there is a group, and I'm very familiar with them because I've worked with them in the past. I suppose the best word would be white dragons, or first fall white dragons, I would say. So they're first fall white dragons, and a lot of them do have like those very high pheme codes.
Within the Alhambra, you're saying?
Yeah, they've been cooperating with them, and they are quite active in that fit and kind of the failsafe thing.
It basically took on the heavier codes to pull the quantum back to the divine blueprint, eternal encryption, everything.
I wouldn't say that. I'd say they, in their own kind of pathway through the universe, became really quite messed up, but still had the same goals.
Kind of
so
unnatural.
They still did like, we want to do this, but we're badass kind of thing. And they tend to, I think that Tia woman, so that you know, queen from Egypt was one of them. They have to be in charge. If they're in a mission and they're not in charge, they might say that they'll, you know, do things, but they're going to make sure that they're in charge. And I've dealt with that. They have to be kind of in control of a lot of things, and they are pretty controlling. And we have a history of them. I remember. So, and they kind of have this dictatorship mentality. Like, I often compare them to the Christic Inquisition, because they're kind of the people who are going around and making sure that everyone else thinks the way that they do. And I don't deal well with that. And I'm not going to, generally, I don't kind of permit myself to be treated that way. So they're kind of doing that. And I'm like, well, who the hell are you to ask me this? And conflict happens. So it's happened in a couple of lifetimes. I think the most recent time was like, it was on Maldak. And Maldak is a really interesting story because nobody's really telling the story of why Maldak blew up. And even Aish has hinted like it was the Maladaka Dragoon. It was like, that was kind of the big equerry planet. That was kind of their thing. Like, I was there and I remember some of the wars they had, and it went nuts on both sides. And I remember doing some pretty bad things myself, and then just realizing what I'd done and like leaving. And those groups were kind of, I was kind of like coordinating things with those groups and realizing what I'd done. I'm like, I can't do this anymore. This is not me. I can't do this. And leaving. And they took that as kind of treachery. And I don't think since that time they've ever really trusted me. And if we didn't get along before that, well, we super don't get along now afterwards. So sometimes what I think people, when they're sensing this darkness in the Alhambra, they're sensing that. And I do think that they are trying, but they're trying to like help, but they do this in this very dictatory way that's not helping. It's them trying to help, but...
Trust my authority type thing. Like, this is, I know.
Yeah. Do as I say, not as I do kind of thing. And that's just not conducive. And, you know, God knows I've done that in my past and everything, but it's just it's not the way to go.
You see that being played out in the group then? You see people do it?
Yes.
Okay.
I still recognize these beings and I know who they are. At least a good chunk of them.
Okay. I guess that brings me to the next question. What direction do you see the group going in right now?
I think there's this assumption that chaos is going to become wider and wider spread, and it's going to somehow like catch on fire and the whole world will get it. I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, there's been a push from Aurora Earth. There's been kind of a notion of that she's presented in Authentic Earth now, which they took the video down, I think, within the same hour or something. A few of us just got to see it, and then it was gone.
Yeah, I saw it too. I'm like, at this point, I'm like, I don't think it's happening. I could be wrong. I think we're going to get this. Like, I don't think we're ready. I really don't. I don't think it's in the physical bodies are ready to do that. Maybe
not in this lifetime.
But I think we're going to get like whatever we came here to do, the big grid thing, it's almost done. Like it's, we got the most of it done and we're just finishing up the last bits. So it's like, I think we're going to basically just continue on. Some of us are going to continue on in our work till we learn how to transfigure ourselves, and I hope I'm going to be one. I don't know if I can still do that or whatever.
Well,
hope so. And I think pretty much the work is just going to wind down and maybe leave like a body of esoteric work behind it, like, you know, Helena Blavatsky, like that. Like, she left some big books and a bunch of work. I think that's what the work
and
is.
People
gonna
expanded on it a lot. They made their own books off of it. Yeah,
That's what's going to happen, I think, is there it's going to be kind of like that. Like there's just going to be like a body of work left behind, and then maybe a
How?
couple lives where people just leave and go off to Median Earth. And who knows, maybe there will be a replicable technology where we can kind of learn how to orb ourselves and walk through gates and whatever. But I still do think that that's a possibility. But in terms of wider scale social awakening, like on a mass scale, I don't think that's going to happen.
This brings up a question because you're saying this, and that's a very different outlook of what the work is actually teaching right now. It's teaching that the whole planet's ascending, there's shift and sift happening.
Oh, I do. I agree with that.
So if the whole planet is ascending in the direction that we've been trying to go, which I assume is a it's a Christic system, we're being trans.
I think so.
So it would make sense that things would become more, I guess, Christic along those guidelines of what, you know, she's describing.
Would agree with that. I just don't think it's going to happen on a mass scale and all
So
at
how do you see
once.
Christic society? Do you see people at different levels or elders, and it's people just like just not practicing all of it, just not as infatuated with the science of God and stuff?
I see our society continuing on approximately the way it is with some relatively minor changes for a while now. I think, you know how when you compare like our society with say 1900, how there's been a big growth, like lots of things are a lot better. That's kind of what I think is going to happen is more, more or less steady progress for a while. Eventually we will probably reach this like melting point and or this melting point, this like critical mass where people start like en masse kind of like, hey, look, I can orb. Hey, look, telekinesis. Oh my God. It's probably going to be a pretty gradual process up until that point, and our society will continue on, at least I suspect, approximately as is for the foreseeable future.
Okay,
Maybe.
could you hang on real quick? I gotta let the dog out. I'll be right back. So. Okay. Well, I think this it completely ties together the direction we're going with what the work that we're that the work's saying we're going, like with the Ascension Planet.
I think
So,
I agree with that. I think the Earth is an ascension planet right now.
okay. So, but like ascending to where and what kind of society and life, what's life like on the other side, you know, over there after the ascension and everything?
I know what life feels like. I haven't gone and done anthropology with the people in the future yet, so I
Okay.
tell you that.
Okay. All right. What is the most challenging part of following these teachings, having this in your life?
Dealing with other people. Really, like that's it. It's dealing with other people who are doing chaos. Like I've had a bunch of conflict with
It
people.
within the group, dealing with other people within the group. Okay.
I've had a bunch of people who are just not dogs. I've had a bunch of problems with that. Oh my God.
No, you go ahead if you need it.
Okay, give me one second.
Sure, go ahead.
No, get down. Get down. Down. Come sit. Come sit. So, hello?
Yep.
Okay, so it's dealing with other people, part of the group. Like most, I've made wonderful friends with this, and I'll hopefully always be friends with these people, and probably have been and will be in the future in the past. But yeah, it's dealing with other people. There's a lot of conflict there, and oh, that's my dog Ruby.
Hi,
So
Ruby. What kind of dog is that? Let
he's a
me see. I
puggle.
can't see her.
He's a puggle. Hi,
Oh, wow.
YouTube land. So
The slobbery face is one.
yeah, she's so cute. But yeah, no, that's probably been the hardest part.
Okay.
If I kind of just did it all by myself, I think it would be easier. Maybe one day I will, and maybe one day I'll quit Facebook and just do it all on my own. But I haven't, I'm not doing that yet.
So just the people, dealing with the people within the group has been the hardest. So even integrating outside in your social life, that's
Well, that's not a problem with
not
me.
a problem at all. Okay.
I just don't talk about it with many people, and when I do, I avoid some like I have this gift of like explaining things generally, so I'll just
Yeah.
this is what
Sense
I'm
that.
doing. I'm helping the planet reach its next level of evolution. And my friends are mostly hippies, so they get that.
Yeah, right.
Most of them know there's something weird about me, like there's something a little bit different and kind of, I don't think, well, I don't know if they can put their hand on their mind on it, whatever. But you know, they know, and they know I know, so they're fine with it.
What is the most joyful part of following this work, the teachings?
Oh, there's lots of parts that I enjoy. I mean, it's fun. Like it's fun to go and go on journeys and learn all this stuff. Like that's the work is something that you do and it's something that you're part of, whether you're conscious of it or not. Just getting, I'm not going to say complete conscious awareness because there is no way in hell we are completely consciously aware of what's going on. I'm going to say having a little bit more conscious awareness is actually quite fun. Yeah, that's the best part. It's like just becoming a bit more consciously aware of what I was already doing.
Right. The agenda's playing out and just being able to see stuff, the energies and okay. How do you apply KS to your daily life?
It gives me a structure to view daily life in. That whole Adachi return thing is a really good structure. You're doing everything you need to do on Earth, and then you're kind of going back to where you came from. Seeing things through that really helps. Like it gives me a day-to-day structure.
You feel like you've had multiple lifetimes in this lifetime you've gone through.
Yeah, I've done a lot.
Right.
I've done a lot. I don't think I'm here for the experience anymore. I'm here to get something done.
Right. Yeah, I
Not
sense
that
that.
I've lived my life only for this. Like, you know, I'm still looking for a boyfriend and whatever. And you know, if my Tantri has twins in body, I haven't met him yet. So, and it's funny. I do miss him. I kind of know what his personality's like, and I miss him. So,
And KS teaches it goes into twins also, tantra twins. I guess the word in mainstream is tantra or tantric, but in KS it's like Tantri Asia, Tantri Aura. There's these different types of twins.
Who cares what they call it? It's the same kind of idea. So,
Well,
done.
it's very different because they expand on that actually being a big service of what you're doing for the planet and like keeping the gates open for these for the ascension. And stuff. So I think there's a distinction there in just tantric sex stuff that people get the notion of whenever they hear the word tantra.
And well, yes, but no. I suppose you're right on that. I don't tend to attach too much meaning to a lot of the words in chaos because I find that's just like word means what you mean it to mean, not necessarily what you think it means. Like, or it means what people it, a word means what the people who are using it think it means, not necessarily what you think it means.
Yeah, totally.
So that's kind of I kind of disregard a lot of the terminology specific stuff. But yeah, no, and that's the thing is like. There's a phase of it, like humans are supposed to evolve up to a certain point, and then like in my own personal work, our consciousness expands until it gets to a certain size, and then we kind of like it pops, and we do our Adachi return.
We
Like
go to
that's,
another density or
I wouldn't say another density. Once you kind of pop,
disappear from here?
no, you're still in the body.
Still here. Okay.
The way I learned it and the way I experienced it. The density thing, like maybe some people want to do that, but I never did. And I've done this a few times. So
Well, like these civilizations, the Mayans, where the ascension was like they just descended off the planet, they just left. It's like, well, that's what a theory, I guess.
I can't comment on that because I do not know what happened to them.
Okay.
I was not around then.
All right.
So at least that then I remember. So anyway, the thing is Tantric twins kind of carry a bit of like they carry complementary energies to each other. So when they get together, it's like you get that process a lot faster. You can still do it by
Yeah.
yourself. It just takes longer. So tantric twins and those kind of things are just they're really just kind of a time saver. The idea that they're essential towards running things, I don't accept. They
Well,
may be essential in a certain political context, like we need to do it in like 10 minutes.
yeah.
But in terms of just the general thing, I'm like, no, it's that's they're just kind of a tool we have in the toolbox. They're not kind of the be all and end all.
Well, she did mention that there's Fontic twins, I believe, or some type of twins that have the instilled,
Quantic twins.
they have the codes inside them. They don't have twins. They just come here birthed in with it.
She mentioned specifically there are three kind of things there. There's tantric, phontic, and gentic, and each kind of having their own things. And you know, I'll tell you. My boy does not come in. Oh, my sister's up. My boy does not come in body that often. It's usually just me. So he comes, I think he's in a body now, but 80% of the lives I'm here, it's just me. Like, I do my thing on my own.
Okay. And it's like, it's the encounter that happens on the higher levels first, and then it kind of comes through into
Oh, yeah,
this
no, I
level.
know perfectly well who he is up there and what he's like and everything. It's just, I
Right.
keep asking him, does he have a body? Yes. When are we meeting? Soon. Like, what does soon mean? Does soon mean soon on a cosmic scale, or like, you
Well,
know, 15 minutes?
this was a big thing in KS, the twin club of who who
Oh, yeah, no.
successfully found their
Like,
twin and was doing the work, who wasn't, who was on the prowl, you know.
yeah, no, it's like, we found our twin. Well, whoop-de-doo for you. Like, and it's, that's unfair of me. That's a little snarky, but like, and
Right.
some people they didn't, and they've got a really good relationship with them, and that's super awesome. But there's other people where it's like, it becomes this big status symbol, and I'm sorry, irreverent Princess Paul comes out and is like, yeah, whatever, man. So.
Right. It was interesting in those times. I believe that was like Sliders 11, where it all kicked off. And she, well, it went along with her, because I think that's a very important note to make, is that it was right when she discovered her new twin and was going through the divorce process. And a lot of her life kind of correlated with the work after that, it seemed like, in different ways. Yeah.
Well, it happened. I mean, that's the thing. Most people don't know, but there was a previous KS group called Omeda. And at the time, that was in 2000, at the time Ashiana was married to a different guy. And then the exact same scenario played out. Like, there was allegations of like corruption on this first guy. I think his name is Gruber or whatever. And,
Yeah.
whatever. And there was a formation of a new group and a new group of people who was kind of running things for her and everything. And I read through that. And I was like, this is exactly the same thing that happened in 2012.
Right. And when I formed KS Reality Check, I was getting emails from people that said, this is nothing new that you guys are talking about and experiencing, that this has happened before. This is her pattern, where she leads her groups and, you know, she, and drags everyone through the emotional context of that, of these splits and things. And I mean, it definitely is a pattern to acknowledge if you look at the past work, you know, and see everything and see where these people go, you know, what happened. But there's also
just kind of focusing on the material more than anything else. Like, you know, I have my personal conflicts, but I kind of just, I'm like, oh, I don't even care anymore. I'm just like, just tell me the material and I don't care. Like, I'll figure my way out through it. So just,
yeah.
Like, I consider myself a student of Ashiana's work, and not necessarily that she's in charge. Like, she may be in, like, she's really good at what she does, but I'm kind of like, we're doing the same thing, but I'm like on my own kind of little mission, if that makes sense. And I really like her work, and I think she's got a good talent, and I appreciate her for it. And she's really smart, and like, her work is good, and I like following it, and I learn a lot from it. But, oh, sorry, one second.
No problem.
Hi, Manny. Dozer's here. Oh, I thought that Ruby got out and opened. So, Dozer, you want to go upstairs? No, my dog
wants. Well, I just have one more question, then I wanted to leave it open for anything else that you had to share, anything that you want to bring attention to. The last question I have is, what has been the most important dream for you since you started this work, started doing the tools, the KS?
Dream in terms of what?
It's been going in both directions. Dream is in like dream with life, and also dream is in like dream journey stuff. So whatever comes to mind, I've just kind of allowed whatever. Yeah.
My dream is like, it's the dream I've always had. And it kind of materialized a little bit more through KS, but it's the dream of what Earth is supposed to be. It's a dream of this beautiful planet where life forms kind of like the entire life creates this beautiful like ascension field together. And that beings from other parts of the world or parts of the universe that aren't so nice can really come in quickly and rehabilitate themselves and get everything done.
That's a beautiful and dream. Yeah.
It's Earth the way it was, and Earth, like, it wasn't really completely like that, but we were going that way, and then it got really messed up. And it's Earth the way that it's going to be again. And that's kind of my dream, is like feeling that. Like, there's a meditation that we did in April 2010 where we just kind of went into Aurora Earth. And it was like an out of body experience for me. It's like, I really went there, and that was my dream. That was what was supposed to happen. And that was kind of what was going to happen.
Yeah, I was having some of that too. I tapped into that also during
And
that time.
it really was like an out of body experience for me. It was like I wasn't even aware of my body as much. I was there and I didn't want to come back, but I did because I knew I needed to get something done. And that's kind of, I carried that with me since then. So that dream and that technique and just the gradual making contact with my own kind of higher self, because there's like me here, there's Paul, and then there's like my higher self, which is like so much smarter and stronger and more knowledgeable about everything than I am. And it's like in the last little while, both combined with my homeopathic treatment, which is going very well, and my chaos, it's like that higher self is coming in, and I'm not Paul. Like for a long time, I thought Paul was like this sock puppet that I like walked around and who got into problems because he had like bad social skills and whatever. And now I feel much more like me. And it doesn't mean all the characteristics of Paul are going away, but I feel like up there, like this person that I really am is actually in my body for the first time since like I like at the Anunnaki massacre was the last time I remember this. So that's that those two things, the what Earth could be in that Aurora Earth thing, and then the or at least it's very close to the Aurora Earth vision, and the me becoming me more in physically and body is those are what's really been wonderful for me.
Totally, just like establishing more of a connection to your higher self type thing. That's kind of the path that
Those were
was.
exclusively chaos derived, but chaos parallel and helped me with those. So there are just
Right.
things
Okay.
in chaos, sped them up a little bit.
That is one of the most beautiful aspects of chaos, I think, too, is that there's like this bioregenesis program that was offered upon a falling planet where things got tampered with, and just to have that option available, that I guess intervention. I've always believed in intervention, like holy intervention, just been a supporter of that too, divine intervention.
When we started the Earth Project, that was what the plan was. Like that was what we were going to do, and that project is still happening.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know if the Alhambra were involved or who was, but and I don't know if any of the other people are still here, but I'm still here and I'm still holding that intention and I'm not leaving. So that project is still happening and it's still going to happen, and I don't know when like the magic pop happens, but it's going to happen one day.
Anything else you have to share with us? And
Nothing really occurs to me.
okay. Well, thanks for sharing. I
You're
appreciate it.
all right. It was
It's been
nice
a
talking.
pleasure getting to know you a little better and like just over the call and having just more of a feeling of who you are, because and it's really helped me see like how impersonal text is, and typing and stuff. So this is so I'm really a believer in the show and the direction that's going to be going here with people sharing the stories, everything.
Yeah,
So.
and I suppose if anyone out there is interacting with me, I occasionally get pissed off or irritated with people, and that's my own failing and whatever. I really do love most of you, even if I disagree with your actions, and if, I am quite critical of certain things. So, forgive me my failures, and I'll forgive you yours. So.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And we'll hopefully we can do like a follow-up later. I want to do like follow-ups where it's live and people can
Okay.
if we actually have an audience, people can call in and
Totally.
type and chat and stuff.
Totally
Okay.
do that. Yeah.
Awesome. All right.
All right. Well, thanks for interviewing me.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing.
I love talking about myself, so
Yeah. Thanks for stepping forward. I really appreciate it. You have a very interesting story. I think a lot of
Oh,
people are going to
no.
appreciate it.
Gonna get some trouble. I know some people are gonna see some of my stories, especially about the Akhenaten period, and they're gonna be pissed. And maybe my memories aren't right. Maybe they've been in, maybe my personal biases and grudges have impacted them, but that's what I remember. And
Right.
it needs to be, did that actually happen? Do these people remember this? If so, well, we need, we probably should talk about that and work that out. So.
Yeah. At least presenting the option, that something else could have happened. This is my experience, is what I felt, I think
Yeah.
that's good. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. We'll go ahead and end it right there. Thanks.
Okay.